This program is made possible by the members of the Church Street Baptist Church in Greensboro, North Carolina.
Turn to the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 19. We'll read just a few verses, and then I want to give you the title. First Kings, chapter number 19. If you don't have a Bible, there's one in front of you there in the pew, or you can look on the screen here in just a second. First Kings, chapter number 19, verse number 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. That's what she's saying. If you're not dead tomorrow, then I've not done my job. Verse number 3, and when he had saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and he left his servant there. I want you to look at this verse number 4. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. You are looking at chapter number 19, the lowest part of the man of God's life. When you read chapter number 19 of 1 Kings, you find Elijah, the mighty prophet of God, and he is so tired, he is so weary that he leaves his position. He goes out into the Sinai Peninsula, the Negev, what is today modern Saudi Arabia. He goes out into the wilderness, and if that's not bad enough, it's what he says, God, kill me. I'm a failure. I think you could probably say about Elijah, he is here lost. He does not know which way to turn. He doesn't know which way's up and which way's down. He does not know where to go, and he does not know who to talk to. He is lost. You see, in the Bible, there are two types of lostness. Number one, there is the lostness of the sinner. That's what Paul talked about in Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 1 down through verse number 5. And he said, and you which were quickened, you were dead in trespasses and sins. And he gets on down and he uses words like, you were alienated from God. You were outside of the covenant. You were outside of the promise. And we all remember, if you've been saved, you remember what it was like that day before you said yes to Jesus. You felt lost. You didn't know which way was up and which way was down. You just knew you could not be what you were right then. Something had to change. And you felt lost. You felt lost. Say it with me. You felt lost. Here's the problem. We as the people of God, after we get saved, we stop using that word. Here's the problem with that. The problem is your Bible continues to say that after you get saved, there will be times when you feel lost. Watch my words. You are not lost, but you feel lost. As a child of God, you can't get unsaved. Remember, you didn't buy your salvation, you can't lose your salvation. You didn't pay for yourself, and you can't unpay for yourself. You didn't get it, God gave it to you. You didn't find it, God found you. And the God that found you is a God that will not lose you. So salvationally, we cannot be lost. But positionally, we sure can feel lost. Some of you all are looking at me like a caster, and let me just tell you, there will be times, let me give you the Webster's Dictionary of the word lost. To be aimless, to wander around without position, to wander around without purpose, to wander around without focus. There will be times in your journey you don't know which way to turn. There are going to be times in your life you don't know which way's up and which way's down. And the problem is, as the people of God, there will be times when we are lost. We don't know which way to turn. We don't know which way to go. We don't know what to do. You say, I don't believe you. You don't have to believe me. Remember what the psalmist said in Psalm chapter 18, verse 28. David said, for thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. He said in Psalm 43, verse number 3, O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Why would you need to be led? Because you're lost. Why would you need to figure out where to go? Because you don't have any idea where you're at. You know what it means to be lost? It means to not know where you're at and not know how to get to where you're going. Now, I'm just going to be just downright honest with you. There have been times in my spiritual sojourn that I have not known where I'm at, and I do not know how to get to where I'm going. I know I want to go somewhere. I know I need to go somewhere. I know I'd like to go somewhere. I know I'd feel like getting there, but I have no idea where I'm at, let alone how to get to where I am going. And that is where Elijah is at. Now, here's the problem. If you have never felt lost in your spiritual sojourn, it's probably because you are not saved yet and you are still spiritual. I have met so many super spiritual Christians before, and they say, preacher, I've never had a bad day. I've never had a low moment. I've never been in a valley. I say, I know you've never been in a valley because you've never found the mountain. I say, I know you've never had a bad day because you don't have any idea what a real good day is. I know you've never felt bad because, honey, if you don't know Jesus, you've never really felt good. But today you feel good when you find Jesus. You'll know there are going to be bad days when the hounds of hell come after you and the demons of hell come after you and you don't know which way's up. You don't know which way's down. You don't know which way's in. You don't know which way's out. You feel lost. You say, how do I know if I'm lost? Well, you got to understand Elijah's lostness. I want to show you a few little things. And look, last Sunday, I didn't have anything. God didn't hide and have a message. I got up here, I fumbled, I mumbled, I stumbled. And then sometimes God just pours a bucket load of heaven out on my soul. I got 14 messages on my iPad right now in this one little sermon. So I promise you, I will not preach them all. I'm just going to load them up. I don't even have a gospel shotgun this morning. I got a gospel A-bomb. I'm just going to light the fuse, let God blow it out. And if you survive through this thing, you're going to be happy. And if you don't, I'll see you in glory land. Say amen right there. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. You got to understand about Elijah's losses. Number one, he was lost in spite of his accomplishments. Look at verse number 1. The Bible says, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. What had Elijah done? I'll tell you what Elijah had done. Elijah had slain the prophets of Baal. Elijah had seen the mighty miracles of God. Elijah had seen the greatest miracle since the splitting of the Red Sea, the greatest miracle that Israel had seen since that day. He had seen fire fall out of heaven and consume the altar and the water and the sacrifice. Remember this, just because you've done something for God doesn't mean you're not going to suffer because of your faith. Just because you have walked with God doesn't mean you're going to not have problems. Listen, I don't care if you preach. I don't care if you sing. I don't care if you're faithful. I don't care if you never cheat on your husband. I don't care if you never cheat on your wife. I don't care if you don't know who Jack Bean or vodka is. I don't care if you don't know what a doobie is and a cigarette. You don't even know the Marlboro Man. I do not care how pure, how right, how good, how holy you are. There are going to be times when you feel lost. There are going to be times when you don't know which way to go. It does not mean you are bad. It means you're saved. Going to be times when you feel lost. How do I know? Because Elijah's there. Elijah's the greatest prophet of the Old Testament. In spite of his accomplishments, he felt lost. Number two, he was lost because of the actions of another. Why is he in the wilderness? Because of Jezebel. Listen to me. Some of you do not know how you got to where you are. Some of you cannot figure out how you ended up where you are. Some of you look and say, God, why do I have to suffer for that person? God, I didn't know my mother was sick, but yet here I am. I'm a caretaker now. God, I didn't know my husband would leave me. I didn't know my wife would walk out on me. I didn't know my kids would become prodigals. I didn't know that preacher would do what he did. I didn't know those deacons would act like monkeys. I did not know that people would get crazy. And yet I'm suffering. Elijah's in the wilderness because of something. I didn't do anything to deserve to get molested. I didn't do anything to deserve to be beat. I didn't ask to be born into a drunk home. I didn't do anything to have a mama that never told me she loved me. What did I do, God? And God sends you into the wilderness because of the actions of another. Number three, Elijah was lost and felt lost in spite of his faith in God. Can I tell you something? The devil's a liar and the father of lies. Just because he says something doesn't mean it's true. Just because he thinks he can prove it doesn't mean it's true. You know, they try to prove that people never walked on the moon, but I'm pretty sure up in Washington I saw moon rocks. Just because the devil says it doesn't make it true. And just because you're lost and feel like you're in the wilderness doesn't mean you don't believe God enough. It doesn't mean you hadn't been holy enough. It doesn't mean you've been righteous enough. It doesn't mean you hadn't done exactly what... Now, some of you hadn't done. Some of you walked like the devil, talked like the devil, acted like the devil, spit like the devil, chewed like the devil. You've lived like the devil. And listen, just because you're in the slop doesn't mean you're not a hog. It could mean that you got a snout and you need to stop honking. Here's what you need to know. It doesn't mean you are. The devil wants you to think you didn't live holy enough. You didn't live right enough. You didn't do enough. You weren't enough. You weren't righteous enough. You weren't pure enough. You weren't this. But yet Elijah is in the wilderness and he's lost. How do you know if you lost? How do you know if you lost? Number one, look at Elijah. He was out of place. The Bible tells us in verse number 3 that Elijah had come down to Beersheba, which is in the kingdom of Judah. Why is that a problem? Here's why it's a problem. Who is Elijah a prophet to? Elijah's not a prophet to Judah. Elijah is a prophet to Israel. Elijah's not a prophet to the 2 southern tribes. He's a prophet to the 10 northern tribes. He's not supposed to be in Judah. He's supposed to be in Israel. He's not supposed to be where he's at. He's supposed to be in another place. You'll know that you're in the lost place. You'll know you're in that wilderness because you'll wake up one day and you'll say, how did I get here? How did I end up like this? Last year at Christmas time, me and Mom and Daddy, we were sitting around the Christmas tree. This year, we've got to take our gifts over to the nursing home. Last year, I was with somebody. Last year, I had this thing going on. Last year, I had everything in focus. Last year, I was in the Christmas play. Last year, I sang in the choir. This year, I can't even find a church to go to. Last year, everything looked good. This year, everything looks bad. Last year, everything looked up. This year, everything looks down. Last year, everything was peachy. This year, it's rotted to pieces. And you're out of place. You ever wake up and say, God, where am I? You know where you are? You're lost. You're wandering in the wilderness. He was out of position, place. Number two, he was out of partners. Look at verse number 3. What does it say? He goes down to Judah. What does he do in Judah? He leaves his servant there. You know what Elijah said? I just want to be by myself. I don't want to be around anybody. I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to deal with anybody. I just want to get in my little bubble, and I just want to live. And you will know when you feel that lostness because you will push everybody and everything out. I don't want to talk to the preacher. I don't want to talk to my spouse. I don't want to talk to the deacons. I don't want to talk to my teachers. I don't want to talk to my friends. I don't want to talk to mama. I don't want to talk to daddy. I don't want to talk. I just want it to be me. Why? Because I feel lost. I'm just a spinning. He was out of partners. Number 3, he was out of purpose. Watch what he said in verse 4. He said, God, I'm begging you, take away my life. Elijah, you're the man of God. You mean you want to die? Elijah, you're the prophet of God. You're telling me you want to die? Elijah, you've got a ministry. You're telling me you want to die? Elijah, you've got this and you've got that. You're telling me you want to die? There are people in this room right now. You can go ahead and rip that spiritual mask off. You may have it together. It may look like it's all together on the outside. It may be wonderful. It may look wonderful. It may seem wonderful. But you know on the inside, you are a hollow shell of lost. Number 4. He was out of power. Watch verse 4. He said, I am not better than my fathers. That's what he means. He meant my father failed, and so have I. My father couldn't do it, neither could I. When you reach that point where you feel like I have failed too much for God, you'll know you're lost. Let me just stop, take me a little time out, and give you something I didn't write down. This is where we've all messed up. We've thought we can mess up so God can't use us. Here's what you've got to understand, the flip side of it. You can't be good enough for God to use you. It's by His grace and mercy that He picked you up out of sin. It's by His grace and mercy He gives you anything. It's by His grace and mercy you're alive. It's by His grace and mercy you've got blood pumping in your veins and air in your lungs. It's by His grace. And you didn't earn it, and you can't lose it. Here's what I'm trying to tell somebody. You can't mess up enough where God won't forgive you. You can't mess up enough where God won't use you. You can't mess up enough where God won't touch you. Ladies and gentlemen, it's what you've got to realize. realize you're just in that lost place. You're in that wilderness place. You're in that wandering place. And I'm telling you, there is a God in heaven. He has not forgotten you. He is still faithful, and he has not failed, and he is not finished. I'm telling you, God is real. God's on time. God's in control. Although you're lost, you've got to realize, honey, you didn't get lost on purpose. You didn't get lost by your own accord. You didn't do it. God did it to you. You say, how do you know? Here's how I know. You remember that day you got saved by grace? You walked into that church thinking everything was going to be always like it had been, and you walked in that day and the Holy Ghost thunder punched you in the spirit and he woke your soul up and you said, I've got to get saved. Somebody said, why do you need to get saved? You said, because I got lost. And the moment you realized you got lost, you realized you had to be found. And in the spiritual walk, God will let you get lost so you realize I need to get found. Listen, when you're sucking down the liquor and the drinks and all that stuff, it's party time, honey. You know what God will do? God will let you get a belly full of that mess and you start puking in your spirit and say, I'm sick of this. And it's when you get sick of it, you start hunting a balm. It's when you get tired of it, you start saying, is there not a great physician in Gilead? It's when you get done with everything, you say, is my life not worth living? And when you realize everybody else has walked out, that's when you realize the God man has walked in. When you realize everybody's checked out on me, that's when the good God of glory, I say hallelujah, I say thank you, Jesus, I say glory to the Lamb. When everybody walks out, God walks in, honey. Amen. Now, that was all just introduction. What do? When you get lost, I got three little points. I want to give them to you. Number one, you rest. What do when you get in that position and you don't know which way to go? You know the worst thing you can do when you get lost is try to get found. Worst thing you can do when you get in where you don't know is try to get out where you do know. Listen, before GPI came along, where's all the kids? I feel so sorry for this generation of youngins. They don't know what it's like to have to stop at a gas station. They don't know what it's like to have to ignore your wife. And when she knows you're lost, and you know you are too, but you ain't gonna tell nobody. See, now they've got all these gadgets and gidgets and gizmos. Man, they've got all this stuff, and they can blame it on GPS. I remember Preacher Lemons used to say, well, that GPS would come up here, we'd direct. He'd say, that's the linest woman God ever made, man. But you know, a long time ago, when I first started driving, I'm 30, none of your business years old, and I started driving when I was 16. My God, I've been driving 16 years. I've been driving as long as I wasn't driving. Put that in your pipe and smoke it if you want to feel old. What was I talking about? I remember. Man, the worst thing you can do when you get lost is try to get found. I've been in the car before. And I'd get lost. I'm glad you're back, Bob. I can talk to you now. Man, I'd get lost. And you know what I'd do? I'd try to retrace my steps. I'd get back in that little 1993 Pathfinder. I mean, that thing was a hunking and a junking down the road. I mean, I'd ride around. I'd say, oh, yeah, that looks familiar. I'd take a turn right there. I'd say, I don't remember this. So I'd turn around and I'd go back. I'd get back to that landmark. I'd say, oh, this is right. I'll go this way. And before I knew it, I was lost even further than I was when I started. You know what I should have done? I should have just stopped and I should have just waited. I should have stopped and got on that cell phone. I should have just stopped and just stayed there. The worst thing you can do when you get in that valley is say, you know what? I'm going to push through this thing. I'm going to motor through this thing. I'm going to try to make this thing better. I'm going to try to make myself better. I'm going to try. I'm going to read another book. I'm going to read another magazine. Here's the problem with books and magazines. They're written by men, and men got you in this mess, and man can't get you out of this mess. You've just got to sit there. You've got to wait. What did Elijah do in verse 5? And he lay and what? Slept. What else should you do when you get lost? Lay down and take you a nap. Some of you are so tired, you can't breathe right. Physically, you are so exhausted. Listen, this is the greatest land that God ever made. I bleed red, white, and blue. I mean, I love it. I got Lee Greenwood that plays in my sleep. There's one problem with our nation that I wish it wasn't so. we have this innate drive to always be doing and always be going and always be pumping and always make money. And if you don't work, you're lazy. And if you don't keep going, you're lazy. You know what that'll do? That'll burn your body out. God said, in 6 days thou shalt work, but on the seventh day, that is a day of Sabbath, a day of rest. And we've pumped through, we've primed through, we've kept pushing. And you know what God will do? God will put your carcass in the wilderness and you don't know what to do. And you'll finally just say, I'm done. And you'll lay down. When you rest, you know what you're saying? I trust. You don't lay in the bed with somebody you don't trust. You'll end up with a knife in your throat in the night. You only lay with who you trust. And God said, rest in the Lord. What did Elijah rest in? Write these things down. Number one, he rested in the sweetness of God. In the sweetness of God. How many of you have got a Bible this morning? Take that Bible and hold it up real high for you. I want to see how many of you got Bibles. All right? How many of you got them open to chapter 19? All right? You got it open to chapter 19? I want you to find chapter 19 is the lowest point in Elijah's life. You ready? Find one verse where God condemned him. You won't find one. You know why? Because at our lowest point, not in the lowest point in our life, the devil will come. He'll say, you've messed up so bad. You've done too much. You've messed up. You've fouled. You have done everything, and God's done with you. God, you think God condemns you. God does this and throws that guilt on you. You realize God is a loving Father. God is a holy Father. God is a good Father. I know your daddy may have beat you. I know your daddy may have left you. I know your daddy may have never told you he loved you. He may have never said that, but you hear me. You hear me well. The God in heaven, the God that saved you, the God that puts you in the family of God, he loves you more than you could ever think. He cares for you more than you could ever imagine. He's a loving God. And he doesn't condemn his children. He rested. He said, God, I know I'm bad, but I trust you. Number two, he rested in the sovereignty of God. How many of you are in the military? Okay. I was not in the military, but I watch a lot of videos. And I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express. Amen. And so what I noticed about them, the military, is they strategically plan. And here's what they do. If they're going to send their troops into battle, they pre-position supplies so that when they get there, the supply will already be waiting on them when they get there. Here comes Elijah. Now, he's in the Negev, which is the Sinai Peninsula, which is the Arabian Desert. It's big. It's huge. It's monstrous. How many of you have ever seen in the desert, trees don't grow a lot, do they? It's barren. It's wasteland. It's empty, right? So here he is in a big wide open space, and he's walking. Is it not interesting to anybody else that in the very path, at the very time he needed it, God sent a juniper tree? You're telling me in that big old wide open desert that he just happened to find a tree at the moment he needed to rest, at the moment he was about to be done, at the moment he was about to die. He found a shady tree. I wonder how that tree, I'll tell you how that tree got there. It's a big, holy, creating God that when he created the world, he put everything that was. And then in that flood, that water rushed around and that water blew by and it knocked down trees and it knocked down rocks and it moved mountains and it moved rivers. But out there in that Sinai Peninsula, he looked at a little juniper tree and he said, don't you move a muscle. I don't care what water comes. I don't care what knocks around you. You stay right there and don't you move. I believe that juniper tree probably said, God, why? Why can't I move? And God looked at that juniper tree and said, one day there's going to come a weary servant this way and he's going to need a little shade and he's going to need a little strength and he's going to need a little power and he's going to need a little refreshment and he's going to need a little rest and I've got a job for you. This is my point. Isn't it what I wonder? You've been lost. You feel lost. flaws, you feel like you're done, and you just happen to wander into this little church on the side of Church Street. I don't know if you've looked, but I'm not the best preacher, and this church may not be the prettiest building. Is it any wonder you just happen to come in here because your mama been inviting you and your daddy been inviting you? You've been watching on TV saying, I need to go hear that crazy man. I need to go hear and see those people. And you just happen to walk into this place, honey, and you sat down on that pew and you got right there, and all of a sudden that preacher said, open your Bible and turn to 1 Kings chapter number 19. I want to preach to you today on what to do when you get lost and your ears perked up because you felt lost and you felt weary. You say, how'd that happen? I'll tell you how that happened. There's a mighty big God in a mighty big heaven that's got mighty big eyes and a mighty big heart and a mighty big arm, and he reached down to where you were and he orchestrated your life, and he said, I know their position and I'll put the supply in their way. Amen. Hear me. Do you know why you're here today? Because God wanted you here. You know how many nails are on the highway and road? A bunch, because my wife picks up almost every one of them in her tires. You could have run over a nail today and stopped you from coming. But God sent an angel with a magnetometer out beside that way you'd go. And he said, move every obstacle, move every nail, move every branch, move every limb, anything that would stop them. You know what we call that? We call that the sovereignty of God, the fact that God is in control. All the time God is in control. He rested. And you know what you need to do today? You need to rest in the Lord. And just say, God, I don't know why I'm at. I don't know where I'm at, but I trust you. Number two, now this is my big point. This is my favorite point. Number one, he rested. Number two, he refreshed. Verse number five. If you look at verse number five, you're going to find that when Elijah went to sleep, he woke up. And God sent the baker of heaven, and he didn't wake up the same way he went to sleep. When he went to sleep, he went to sleep. And there was nothing there. But when he woke up, verse number 5 and verse number 6 tell us that he woke up and he found three things. Look at your Bible. Number one, he found a cake that was baking. See that? Number two, what was it baking on? Coals. And number three, he found a cruse of water. Now, God already alliterated that for me. He found a cake and he found coals. And he found a cruise. He found a cake, and he found coals, and he found a cruise. When Elijah was weary, God didn't give him a piece of chicken. God didn't send him a lamb chop. He gave him cake and coals and a cruise. Do you know why God gave him cake and coal and cruise? Because that's exactly what he needed. He needed cake and he needed coal and he needed a cruise. He didn't need a lamb chop. He didn't need an umbrella. He needed exactly what God gave him. Isn't it interesting that exactly what you need when you need it, it's when God sends it. Now remember this, everything God puts in the Bible, he puts it there on purpose. Everything he puts in there, he puts it in there for a reason. Let me just give you these three little things and what they mean. Number one, he gives Elijah a cake that was baking. You say, what was that cake? Well, it was a type of pita bread that you would see, a type of bread that they make in Israel in the wilderness, and the Bedouins make it. And what they do is they take that dough and they put it on a hot surface and they bake it. Now remember this, in your Bible, bread is always a picture of the Word of God. It's always a picture of when God goes to give you a word. Isn't it interesting that at the moment you're the lowest and the moment you're at your weakest point and the moment you need to hear something, what does God do, man? You come in here and your heart's beating out of your chest and you feel like you're done and you feel like it's over and you feel like God's abandoned you and the church's abandoned you and everybody's walked away and the preacher doesn't come in and he doesn't preach on checkbooks and he doesn't preach on marriage and he doesn't preach on finance. He's preached on that stuff before. But today, he's got a word about what to do when you're lost. I wonder how he got that. I'll tell you how he got that. There's a holy God that gave him exactly what you need. He gave you a word. Glory goes right there. Some of y'all done been to too many Methodist churches. Y'all need to wake up and go to the Pentecostal church. Because I got soul in my soul, and I done been to too many churches with Jesus in them to go to a place that looked resembles Forbes and Dick. So God will give you a cake. Now, number two, What does he give them? Coal. Now, God didn't give him Kingsford. That is called mineral coal. That is produced. That is mined. That is formulated. What Elijah had, it wasn't a coal. It was actually a hot stone. What it was a flat rock. And in the desert, how many of you ever seen them YouTube videos in Arizona in the middle of the summer? They take them eggs, and they crack them, and they throw them on the concrete. And what does it do? It fries it. And here's the question. Why didn't that egg fry in that shell? It had to have a place that took the heat and converted it into something that was usable. Elijah found a rock that had touched the fire. Let me give you two little lessons here. In your Bible, do you know what a rock is always a picture of? Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and 11 tell us that there was a rock that followed them in the wilderness, and that rock was Christ. You ready? So the rock is a picture of Jesus. You with me? Do you know what fire is a picture of in the Bible? Fire is a type of judgment. At the end of the world, when the sun and the moon and all of it are done away, do you know how God's going to take care of this earth? He's going to burn it with fire. You ready? God gave me this yesterday, and I turned a holy flip in my kitchen. Elijah had to have something that would convert the fire so that it did not cook him. He found a rock that took his heat. You know what Jesus did for you on the cross at Calvary? Jesus, the rock of ages, took your judgment. He took your heat. He took your fire because you couldn't handle the fire. You couldn't handle God's judgment. You couldn't handle the heat. Now, here's the point. Why did God give to Elijah a picture of the judgment of God? Here is why God gave Elijah a picture of the judgment of God. How many of you have ever gotten into that? I felt God right there from the top of my head, the sole of my feet. How many of you have ever gotten in that wilderness and gotten in that lost place, and the first thing the devil says is, you're finally paying for what you did back there. You're finally earning what you did back there. You messed up back there, and you're paying for it right here. You messed up way back there, and God's finally brought it home to roost. The chickens are coming home to roost, and you are paying for what you did. And he does that, doesn't he? Me and two people. Rest of y'all hypocrites, you need to get saved. You know the devil does that. You're paying for what you did there. And what God wants you to realize is, in the lost place, you are not paying for your sin because your sin was already paid for. Do you know what Jesus did? He took your sin. All right, then preacher, why am I walking through this? Are you ready? You are not walking through it to pay for your sin. You are walking through it for the Spirit to sanctify your life. You know what the wilderness does? It rips out of you everything that's not supposed to be there, and it puts in you everything God wants you to have. You know why you are where you're at? Or at where you are? Because there's something in you that doesn't resemble Jesus. And the Holy Ghost rips it out of you. He doesn't rip it out on the mountain, does he? He rips it out in the valley. It's in the low spots we start realizing, wait a second, stuff's not right. It's in those bad places, isn't it? Yeah. Here's my question. And here's my point, Brother Scott, I'm done. And here's my point. Why would God, now don't close your Bible because I want you to see one phrase. Why would God put Elijah, take him away from his friends, take him away from his ministry, take him away from where he was comfortable at, take him away from everything he knew? Why would God do that? Anybody, who's got a Scofield Bible? Let's see it, Meredith. Look in verse 11. 1 Kings 19:11. And he said, go forth. The Lord said, go forth and stand upon the mountain before God, before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But watch this phrase. The Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, verse 12, but the Lord was not in the fire. You know what Elijah was wanting? He was wanting a big display from God. But watch what God said. After the fire, a still, small voice. Do you know why God took him out into the wilderness? Because in Israel, he would have never heard the still, small voice. With his companions, he would have never heard the still, small voice. But when God ripped away everything Elijah had, and tore him away from everything he wanted, he could finally hear God. You ready for this? Let me rock your world. God doesn't want you to have more money. I don't care what some preacher told you. God's not interested in how much money you have. God doesn't want you to have bigger houses. God doesn't want you to drive nicer cars. You know what God wants from you? He wants you to love him and hear him. And you know what he'll do? He'll rip out of you and rip you away from everything you know and love and worship. And he'll say, do you hear me now? He'll get you so sick and tired of sin. He'll say, are you listening now? You get so fed up with all that mess. He'll say, can you hear me now? And finally, you'll realize, God, it all makes sense. See, God didn't rip you out of what he was ripping you out of to rip you in pieces. He was tearing out of you what was keeping you from hearing him. He wasn't taking your job because he hated the job. He's taking the job because it was something in our sinful heart that we worship the job. God doesn't want you worshiping a job. God doesn't want you worshiping a church or a preacher or a pastor or a husband or a wife. You know what God wants? He wants you to love him with all your heart. Somebody this morning, the Lord's saying, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? You're not paying for your sin. Jesus already paid for your sin. God doesn't try people two times on the same sin. He already paid for it with Jesus. Listen to me. He's taking you to a place where you can hear God. Will you listen to him? Some of you, he's calling you back. Come back home to me. Come home. Come back. Some of you weary sheep, he's saying it's okay just to take a break. And some of you shattered sheep that have been so broken and hungry and weary and tired, he's saying, I've got something for you. Here's what I want us to do this morning. I want you to find your little place on this altar. I want you to say, God, I trust you. I don't understand it, but I trust you. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm going to tell you something. First thing we'll normally do when we get in these places, we'll say, God, And the Lord's wanting you to say, I trust you. I trust you, Lord.